Looking for truth, I found answers.
I thought I had it all figured out. Then I found purpose.
I was lost, but then I found a place to belong.
I was abused, but now I'm healed.
I was in chains, but now I'm set free.
I was bitter. Then I found grace.
Good morning, everybody. Great to see you today. Amen. Welcome to Grace. We're super glad that you're here today. This morning, Pastor Wayne is out on vacation getting some well-deserved rest time, and he'll be back this week. But I want to encourage you to pray for he and his family, that during these days that they would come back to us rested and refreshed, ready to lead us into the future and what God has for us. Amen. So this morning, I have the privilege of standing behind this sacred pulpit and sharing the Word of God with you. And today, we're continuing the series Follow, as you saw on the screens there. And we've been talking about what it means to follow Jesus Christ. And Pastor Wayne has shared with us the last 2 weeks a couple of messages. The first one about following the leader talked to us about how that we don't have to copy a copy, right? We can copy the master. Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Follow the leader. And then last Sunday, he shared with us under the anointing of God how that we're to follow together and how important it is that we don't try to live this life by ourselves, because then we become easy prey for the enemy, but that we're to live in community. We're to live in the body of Christ and serve God together. So we're following together. Today, we're going to be following the instructions. Everybody say amen. You're catching on. You're following the instructions. Nice job. All right. So today we're going to be following the instructions. I remember a specific time in my life when some difficult circumstances had come up in my family, and really it had distracted me from reading God's Word. And because I had stopped reading God's Word and been distracted by the problems of life, I began to kind of fall off on my church attendance. Going to church became sporadic. Then after that, I kind of stopped praying as often as I should. Really, I was not doing anything that God says that I needed to do to follow Him and to get to heaven. And I became confused and lonely. And really, I probably was at the beginning stages of a true state of depression. And at the time, I was getting ready to go visit from some friends, but I had started making some bad choices, and my life was really just spinning out of control, and emotions were raging inside of me that were causing a lot of turmoil. And so I was getting ready to go visit some friends, and God was beginning to deal with me about getting things right with Him again. So I was, before I headed to the airport, I thought, well, I'll just grab my Bible. I grabbed my Bible, threw it in my backpack, and took off to the airport. Well, I'm sitting on that airplane, and we're at 30,000 feet in the air, and I don't know if it was just because I was close to God or what, but the Holy Spirit just started pounding on my heart. And He started speaking to me about intentionally following God again and doing all those things that are important to do to grow spiritually. And so I grabbed my Bible out of my backpack, and I just threw it open there on the tray of that seat in front of me and laid it there. And I'm not promising you that it's always going to happen to you like this, but that day, the word that I needed was right on that page. And as my eyes fell on the Psalms, it fell to chapter 42, verse number 5. Psalm 42, verse 5, and here's what the Bible says. Why am I discouraged? Why is my heart so sad? I will put my hope in God. I will praise Him again, my Savior and my God. Well, I got to tell you, it was like, I mean, God just might as well have been sitting in the seat right next to me and speaking those words right into my ear. Because the walls and the hardness of my heart began to melt, and I began to silently call out to God and look to Him and seek Him and ask forgiveness and submit my life to Him again right there in the seat of that airplane. And I'll be honest, I was fighting back tears. I didn't want to, you know, embarrass myself on this airplane. But God is speaking to me and things are happening, but my eyes continue to look into the Scriptures, and just six verses down in Psalms 42:11, my eyes caught these words. Why am I discouraged? Can you put that back? Why am I discouraged? Why is my heart so sad? I will put my hope in God. I will praise Him again, my Savior and my God. Now, at first I thought, my Bible's messed up. I've got the exact same words in two different places right here in the same chapter. But the Bible wasn't messed up. God was speaking into my life from the Bible. He was challenging me, and now I couldn't fight the tears back anymore. And as I'm sitting on that plane, God began to speak into my heart and change my life. In a moment, the Word of God was that powerful. As I began to submit my life again to God, and my eyes scanned across that page one more time in chapter 43, verse 5 this time, I saw these words. Why am I discouraged? Why is my heart so sad? I will put my hope in God. I will praise Him again, my Savior and my God. And that day at 30,000 feet, friends, Jesus became my Savior and Lord again, and I recommitted my life, and I understood the purpose that I was born for, and I haven't had a problem getting out of bed ever since. That day, the Bible changed my life, and I've been praying that today would be that day for you. Now, if we want to grow spiritually and mature in our faith, we must learn how to feed ourselves with God's Word. Amen? Look at your notes that you have in your hand there. The Bible is God's instruction book for life. The Bible is God's instruction book for life. Here's another way to put it. The Bible is our soul food. Amen? In other words, without the Word of God in your life, you have no food, dude. Without God's Word, you will starve to death. Your faith will die. Now, here's how Jesus put it in Matthew chapter 4 and verse number 4. Let's look at it together. He says, people do not live by bread alone. So what Jesus says is, if you want to live, you're going to have more than just donuts. If you want to live, you're going to have to eat more than just physical food, all right? He says, people don't live by bread alone, but by every word that comes from the mouth of God. So get this, what Jesus is telling us is that if we don't have an intake of the words that come from God's mouth, then we will die. We can't live. The Bible is our soul food. Now, no one would think of feeding their body once a week and then attempting to go the rest of the week with no food, right? Can you imagine how weak and how vulnerable, how miserable that would make you if you just ate physical food once a week? Yet think about this. Many followers of Jesus do that with their spirit man by hearing God's word just on Sunday. And even then, we're not here every Sunday. So sometimes we're going less than once a week without God's word. And then we wonder why our faith is so weak. Friends, if we're only having God's word once a week, then our faith is literally starving to death. It's vital then that we feed our spirit man every day. Say every day. Every day we need to have an intake of God's word. The words of the Bible are the food that sustains us. Amen? Now, there are three decisions that I believe affect reading the Bible. And there are three very important decisions that you and I need to make. The first decision is this. You must decide to accept the Bible as your authority. It's a decision that you make. You must decide to accept the Bible as your authority. Now, this decision is so important to our future because many of us are trying to live life without reading the instructions. We're trying to do this thing called life, and we're not following the directions that God, our Creator, has given us. In Psalm 19, verses 7 and 8, look what the Bible says. The instructions of the Lord are perfect, reviving the soul. The decrees of the Lord are trustworthy. Say trustworthy. Making wise the simple. So even simple people can be wise if you're reading the Bible. Somebody say amen. Amen. The commandments of the Lord are right, bringing joy to the heart. The commandments of the Lord are clear, giving insight for living. You see, my friend, it's important for us to look to God's word because it's the instructions for living. Now, maybe parents of young children might be able to connect with me on this. Have you ever seen those little boxes of those Lego kits? And it's got a picture. Now, I'm not talking about the Legos where you just buy a bunch and make whatever you want. I'm talking about the kits that you buy to make something specific, you know? And it's got a picture on the box, right? Now, I'm not going to tell you how I know this, but let me just let you in on some wisdom. Unless you follow the instructions exactly how they're printed on the paper, what you make will look nothing like what's on the outside of that box. I mean, you've got to follow it down to the exact Lego that they want in the exact place. And if you don't follow the instructions exactly like they're laid out, then your creation will look nothing like what's on the front of that box. You know what I'm saying, right? It's the same with our lives. Many of us are trying to make this life, and we're not following the directions. It's important for us to grasp a hold of this truth. Our lives will never reach God's desired potential unless we follow the instructions given to us in the Bible. Somebody say amen. 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 Listen to what Peter says. He says, the grass withers and the flowers fall. Think about this. But the word of the Lord stands forever. It stands forever. Can I challenge you today? Choose today to accept the Bible as your authority for living and for life. Amen? Decision number two, you must decide to understand the goal of reading the Bible. You must choose to understand the goal of reading the Bible. Now, understanding doesn't just happen automatically, right? It's a process that we have to engage in. Now, I have to be honest with you. Before I committed to follow Jesus and started reading the Bible, I had beliefs and concepts and thoughts about God that just weren't true. I had built this God up in my mind, this God that I knew, and it was nothing but my own imagination and environment of living that had created a God that just wasn't God at all. In fact, because of the circumstances of my life, at times I would be furious at God. I was mad at him because of everything going on in my life. At times I would be so mad at God, even for putting me on the earth and causing me to live. So I didn't understand why these things were going on in my life. But now, as someone who's committed to follow God, I must get to know him. We need to know the Father's heart. Amen? You can't follow someone that you don't know. And you can't know God without reading the Bible, his word. Paul tells Timothy in 2 Timothy 3 some powerful, powerful truths. And I want you to look at it with me. He says the whole Bible, so we're talking about the Old and New Testament. Follow me. The whole Bible was given to us by inspiration from God and is useful to teach us what is true and to make us realize what is wrong in our lives. It straightens us out and helps us to do what is right. It is God's way of making us well prepared at every point, fully equipped to do good to everyone. So we're talking about the goal of reading the Bible. Are you capturing it there? He says, he has a list of things here that are our goal in reading the Bible. So the idea is that we understand that the goal of reading God's word, if we get that, it will motivate us to keep on reading God's word. Now, I want you to listen closely. If you read the Bible for the sake of information, then your faith journey is going to be frustrated, empty, and confusing, just like I was on that airplane. The goal of Bible reading is not information, but transformation. Are you hearing me? I read the Bible to be transformed. So I want you to think about this then. We don't read the Bible to fill up our heads. We read the Bible to fill up our hearts. I'm reading the Bible for life change. In fact, D.L. Moody, I think he summed up 2 Timothy 3:16 and 17 with one statement. Look what D.L. Moody said. He said, the Bible was not given to increase our knowledge, but to change our lives. We have this book so that our lives can be changed. Not for the sake of information, but transformation. So there it is. That's a good summary of 2 Timothy 3, I think. God gave us the Bible to change the way that we live. So the goal of Bible reading is that my life might be changed. I read the Bible to find out how I should live. If I understand the goal, then I'm going to keep coming back to it for more and more and more and more. Because I'm not reading it to just gain knowledge. I'm reading it so that my life can be adjusted to it. Amen? You know, have you noticed how they've come out with these bags now when you purchase things that are resealable after you open it? Like you can open the top and then there's a resealable part. You know what I'm talking about? And isn't that convenient? They just know you're not going to eat it all. Now, I've noticed they don't have those resealable tabs on the bags of Doritos. You know what I'm talking about? Because they know once you open that bag and you have one Dorito, it is over. You do not have to worry about sealing that bag back up. Right? Because you're going to empty it out. Friend, can I tell you, it is the same with the Word of God. If you will embrace the understanding of what the goal of the Bible is for, then once you read a verse and your life is changed, you'll keep going back and back and back and back and back again and again. It's like a bag of Doritos. If you understand the goal of the Bible, you'll keep on reading it. Amen. The third decision that you must make about God's word, you must decide that spiritual growth matters. You see, spiritual growth is your personal responsibility. Everyone must make the decision for themselves to actively engage in the things that cause your faith to grow. We got to be involved in it. It's your job to grow, bro. It's your job. It's your responsibility. So we have to be careful then, because I've heard people fall into the trap of saying, well, it's so-and-so's fault because I'm just not being fed. Really? Well, the way I understand the Word of God, it's your responsibility for what you eat. Are you with me? It's your responsibility. Paul tells Timothy this truth this way in 1 Timothy 4:7. Look what he says. Do not waste your time arguing over godless ideas and old wives' tales. Don't waste your time telling me that you got to do this or that because you're not being fed. Paul says, to that. Right? Do not waste your time arguing over godless ideas and wives' tales. Instead, train yourself. You got it. Train yourself to be godly. So it's our responsibility. Reading God's word becomes really important as part of what is needed for our faith to grow, and each of us is personally responsible then for that faith growth. Are you with me? So you must decide spiritual growth matters. And so I'm going to get involved in the process, all right? So those are the three decisions that you have to make. Now, I want to get real practical for a second, so stay with me, okay? Don't drift. Stay with me. I want to talk to you about the three elements of Bible study, okay? And it's going to get real practical, like I said, but you need to hear it. I think this is important. The first thing that is important about the Bible is reading it. You got to read it. Simple enough, right? I wish that something would happen when we just did this. You know? I mean, although it looks kind of awkward, it would be really neat if there was just osmosis. You know? Oh, I got it, Pastor Tim. I'm all set. Boom, done. But it doesn't work that way. If we're going to have the implanted word into our hearts, the Bible says in James, then we have to read it, all right? Many times, though, be careful, because we let our questions about Bible study actually keep us from ever getting started. And so it's dangerous. You know, questions paralyze our action, you know? What kind of Bible? Where do I start? How much is enough? On and on go the questions that keep us paralyzed. I believe that what will help us to get going is to have a plan. And I'm so glad you asked me about it, because I'm getting ready to tell you about a great one. Pastor challenged us back at the beginning of this year to read the one-year Bible. The cover looks like this right here, all right? Here's what's so cool. If you are a new follower of Jesus here at Grace, we want to give you one for free. Free. Stop by the Next Steps kiosk out in the hub today if you're a new believer, and we'll put one in your hands for free. You say, well, Pastor Tim, I'm not a new believer, but I sure would like to have one. We want you to have one. So stop by the bookstore kiosk, and you can purchase one. All right? We saved one for you to buy. Now, you say, well, I'm going to have to buy it. Yeah, but it will be worth the investment. It will be worth the investment. You say, what's so cool about the one-year Bible is that there's actually dates attached to specific Bible readings. So you just look at the calendar. Today's October 23rd, right? So you just open the Bible, you look across there, it says October 23rd. And guess what you read? Everything on that page. Simple enough, right? You read everything on that page, and if you'll follow that every day, in 1 year's time, you will have read the entire Bible cover to cover. Pretty cool, huh? So you can do that. You say, well, I'm not a new believer. I don't have the money today. Here's what Pastor Ed has done for you. You can actually go to our website, graceassembly.org, and all the scriptures are listed there. And you can take your own Bible and just turn to those scriptures that are listed and read it and do the exact same thing. If you go to the Grace Facebook page and group, Pastor Ed has even put a devotion along with the daily readings. And so, friend, I'm telling you, we've made it so easy for you. It's like going to Texas Roadhouse and there's a steak right in front of you and you say, I'll pass. Are you crazy? No way. We've made it real easy for you. You can also get it. If you have a smartphone, you can download the YouVersion app. It's Y-O-U. It's a free app. Free. You can go to the YouVersion app, Y-O-U, put it in your app store search. It'll bring it up. When you see the icon, Holy Bible, that looks like this one right here, All you do is push get, then install, and then you'll have the Bible app on your phone. Guess what? Inside the Bible app is the one-year Bible reading plan. All you have to do is push that plan, it'll bring it up, and every day those scriptures will come up for you to read. And you can just go right through it. Guess what you can do then? You can even push play and it will read them for you to you. Every day you gotta be in the Word. Amen? You gotta read it. You gotta read it. You gotta read it. We've made it super easy for you to do it, all right? Now, as you read, will you do one thing that just kind of goes with that? You can't just read. We are all multitaskers up in here, back row, front row. Pray as you read. Will you do it? Pray as you read. In fact, the psalmist in Psalm 119 put it like this: open my eyes that I may see wonderful things in your law. If you'll pray this prayer before you do your reading, I want to stand next to you next Sunday. It will transform your life. It will change you forever. It will. So pray that prayer as you read the Bible, okay? So you're reading it. Number two, you're thinking it, all right? You're thinking it. Now, how do you think the Bible? How do you think the Word of God? I'm so glad you asked me that question too. We actually have a method to help you. It's called the SOAP method. It's in your outline. S-O-A-P. S-O-A-P. The S stands for Scripture. You know, after you've done your reading, for that day, you can choose a scripture, like one verse, a little section or passage, all right? Pick out a verse from your reading, write out that verse that spoke to you the most, and then, you know, it can be from the one-year Bible or whatever you're reading, and just write it down. So you're choosing a scripture. Second, the O is observation. What did you observe about that scripture that spoke to you? Write out why or how this spoke to you. You see, now come on, Pastor, that's a little spooky. Spoke to me? Okay, let me help you further. This is what I mean. Imagine you were there when that was being written. Imagine that you were there. Ask yourself, what did it look like when this scripture was being written? What did it feel like? What was going on at the time? Look at the context of the scripture. Then repeat the passage over and over again, emphasizing a different word each time that you read it, all right? The first time, the first word. The second time, the second word. The third time, the third word. And move your way through the passage, and what will happen is it will make you very connected, and you'll begin to see truths that come out of the word that you never saw before. And then in your observation as well, personalize it. What do you mean? I believe that we don't do damage to the scriptures when we take our name and we put them into the scriptures. The Bible says, I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. So you know what I do? I say, Tim Davis can do all things through Christ who Tim Davis gets strength from. Amen? And it changes it. It makes it very personal. Makes it very real. So I would challenge you to personalize it. The A in SOAP stands for application. How can you apply the observation so that it affects your life today? Write out an action point. In light of what I read, this is what I'm going to do today. And then finally, P stands for prayer. Write out a prayer to God based on what you just learned and ask Him to help you apply this truth to your life, all right? So think it. You're reading it, you're thinking it, and then thirdly, you're living it. You got to live it. You got to live it. To live it, we need to ask ourselves some key questions as we do our Bible reading every day, okay? And these questions are going to help you to move from reading and hearing to living it. Now, the first question is this: what do you need to do to change in light of what you just read? I remember Pastor Wayne preaching a series of sermons called A Spiritual Alignment. And he talked about how that we have to adjust our lives to align with God's Word. Well, that's what living it is all about. How can you line up your life with what God asks in the Bible? Final question: do you need to change the way that you think? You need to ask yourself this: are there thoughts that I need to change? Is there speech that I need to change, or the way that I talk? Or are there actions that I need to change? Be specific. Ask those questions, and acting on them is what we mean by living it, okay? Now, hold on, because God says if we don't allow the Bible to change us, then we're deceiving ourselves. Here's what He says in James 1, verse 22. Check it out. He says, be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. You see, if we're only hearers, then we deceive ourselves. Why do you think that is? Well, when when you read on in this passage, James likens it to somebody who looks in the mirror, sees themselves, and then turns away and immediately forgets. You know what I believe? I believe that in the Bible we find our identity. And if you're not a doer of the word, then you struggle with who you are and who God says you are. But if you'll read the word, it'll change the way you think, the way you talk, and the way you act. And you'll find your identity in Christ Jesus, my friend. It's important. Read the word of God. Amen? Now, you say, Pastor Tim, that was a whole lot of practical stuff. I didn't get a chance to write it all down. We got you covered. Every Sunday morning at 11 a.m., we have a class called the Growth Track. And we cover this process step by step, little by little, notes right there with you. We walk with you through it, all right? I believe this is in step one, right? In step one, we talk about these Bible studies and all the things that are involved with it. In fact, recently, I had the opportunity to sit down with our media team and just talk a little bit about why Growth Track is so important at Grace and all the details about Growth Track. Watch this video.
The Growth Track at Grace continues to adjust in order to become as effective as possible and fulfilling God's plan for our church and for each of us personally. One of our vision statements is to be a disciple-making church. Our goal is that 100% of those committing to be followers of Jesus become mature, fully devoted Christians. It's our desire that everyone, no matter how long you've attended, complete this track so that you can clearly understand and participate in the next step of your spiritual journey. Whether you're just starting out in your faith or have been a follower for many years, the Growth Track is designed with you in mind. It is a simple process that takes place every Sunday at 11 a.m. in room 104 right here at Grace. It is made up of four individual classes that will assist you in taking your next step. Step one is follow. Step one guides you through the essentials that every believer needs to become a fully devoted follower of Christ, including the opportunity to be water baptized. Now, step one takes place the first Sunday of every month. Step two is called Connect. In step two, you'll learn our story, where we've been, who we are, and where we're going. If you're new to Grace, this is a great way to begin the process of building relationships. We can also help you to connect with a small group. In this class, you'll also learn what we believe. Step two takes place the second Sunday of every month. Step three is called Discover. Now, step three helps you to discover how God uniquely created you. And through the understanding of your personality and spiritual gifts, you'll learn how your strengths can be utilized in ministry. Step three, it takes place the third Sunday of every month. Finally, step four, serve. In step four, you'll be allowed to connect with a ministry team right here at Grace based on your personality and your spiritual gifts that you discovered during the step three class. After completing step four, you'll be given the opportunity to apply for membership. Step four takes place the fourth Sunday of every month. Each one of these classes has been designed specifically to help you to fulfill your purpose in God. And I look forward to taking the next step with you.
All right, so I want to encourage everybody, if you've not yet been through the Growth Track, it happens every Sunday at 11 a.m. in room 104. We would love to see you in there and again walk with you through this process of getting you grounded and committed to be a follower of Jesus Christ the rest of your life. Amen? All right, we're going to bring this thing in for a landing this morning, and we're going to do that by talking about the three results of reading the Bible. What happens when I read the Bible? Well, the first one is real simple, and you've probably heard it before, so I'm not going to spend a lot of time here. But the first thing that happens is faith. Faith is increased in our life. You see, Jesus talked a lot about faith when he talked to his disciples and taught his disciples. He talked about how having little faith can affect people's attitudes in a sour and a negative way. In Luke chapter 12, it was little faith that caused the disciples to get worried and to rise up in their worry and to question even their future and about provision of the Lord. And in Luke chapter 12, verse 28, here's what Jesus says in response to that. He says, "If then God so clothes the grass, which today is in the field and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, how much more will he clothe you, O you of little faith? So you see, because they had little faith, worry and anxiety about the future and about provision and their needs being met had risen up and overtaken them. But when we read the Bible, it increases our faith and it helps our attitudes to be more positive and have less fear and worry about the future. Now, Jesus also tells us that a lack of faith can actually decrease our ability to follow him. Remember the story in the Gospel of Matthew in chapter 14? Jesus is out there walking on the water, and Peter is in the boat, and he sees Jesus out on the water, and Peter says, "Jesus, let me walk out there with you." And Jesus says, "Come on, dude, get out of the boat." The Bible says that Peter got out of the boat, and he starts walking towards Jesus out on the water, and all of a sudden a storm came up. The wind started blowing, the waves started hitting him, and he got scared. He got distracted. And the Bible says he began to sink. Well, when he did, Jesus rushes to his rescue, picks him up. But Jesus' words to Peter were this: "What caused you to doubt, O ye of little faith?" O ye of little faith. You see, what happened was he became distracted by the circumstances of life, and he began to doubt. And because of that, because his faith wasn't strong, doubt increased. Romans 10:17 says, "So then faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God." So when we read God's word, our faith is elevated. Amen? So faith is increased. The second result of reading the Bible is we find it as a place of refuge. Now, the dictionary defines refuge this way. Listen closely. Shelter, safety, or protection from danger, as to take refuge from a storm. Now, I don't know if any of you have ever been through a storm of life before, but I can tell you today that the Bible is refuge for us. Reminds me a little bit of a story of a British soldier. His name was Frank Viner. Frank was 21 years old when he was saved by the Bible that his father had given him less than 3 months previously for his birthday. Listen to this. "Neither of them could have known that the book would save Frank's life. Frank's daughter Grace tells the story while holding the tattered Bible. He always kept the Bible in his right-hand uniform pocket," she says. "They were in the trenches fighting what became one of the bloodiest battles in the history of World War I. And for some reason, Dad moved the Bible into his left-hand pocket. Then he heard the words from Psalm 91 go through his mind. They say, 1,000 may fall at your side, 10,000 at your right hand, but you will not be harmed. Then there was an enormous blast as a shell hit the trench. His comrades were killed all around him. Frank was thrown to the ground by the shell's impact, his uniform torn, his helmet blown off. And he too would have been dead had it not been for his Bible. A huge piece of shrapnel was embedded in its ripping the Bible open from cover to cover," says Grace. "If he hadn't moved it to his left-hand pocket, he would have been killed," she adds. "But my father always said that the Bible saved his life." The Bible not only saved Frank's life, it'll save your life. It will be a refuge for you. You see, the Bible is a safe place that can find security from the troubles of this life. After the original sin of Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden, we were left in a state of lostness, separated from God. Now, we live in the last days, right? Days that are marked with peril. We need more than ever a refuge, a place where we can go to get reliable information, a place where we can go to get information that we can trust. And that's what the Bible is. It's a place of refuge because we can trust what it communicates to us. It's a safe, secure, solid place in the midst of a confused, upside-down world. Amen? Psalms 119:86, the Bible says, "All of your commands can be trusted." That's why the Bible is a refuge. The Bible says, "Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words by no means ever pass away." The Bible is our refuge. Finally, the last result of reading God's word is power. Oh, this is so awesome. In Hebrews chapter 4, verse number 12, look at what the Bible says here with me on the screen. The Bible says, "For the word of God is living and powerful. The Word of God is living and powerful. And sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit, and of joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. Friends, when we read the Bible, a spiritual operation takes place. The power that is in God's Word is activated into our lives. Are you following me? No wonder John chapter 8, verse 32 says, "You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." See, it's not just the existence of truth that makes us free. It's the truth that we know that sets us free. Today, I believe that God wants to activate His Word and the power of that Word into your life. But for that to happen, we have to read it, right? The truth of God's Word empowers freedom over every deception that holds us in bondage. If you're being strangled by the lies of the enemy, look to God's Word. And today, may His promise be fulfilled in your ears, in your life, in your mind, in every part of your being. And the truth shall make you free. I said the truth will make you free. Today, I think it's important that our response to God's Word is one that's very practical, because obviously this message is very practical this morning. And so I want to challenge you this morning. I want to challenge you to read God's Word every day. Every day. I want to encourage you to open up God's Word and to allow the power that is in it to come alive in your life. Now listen to me, look up here at me as we close. That's not going to happen by accident. It's not going to happen automatically. God says that we have to be engaged in that activity. You and I have to do it on purpose. I believe that one of the things that will help us is if we have a plan. We already shared that with you this morning, the one-year Bible. If you have a place and a time, every day, you go back to that place, you go at that time, I believe that God will honor His Word. We have a promise that He watches over His Word to perform it. This morning, if you'll say, you know what, Pastor Tim, I need that in my life. I desire the power of God to be active in my life. And so today, I want to willingly, on purpose, intentionally accept the responsibility for my spiritual growth, and I want to commit to feed my faith with God's Word. If that's you this morning, and obviously I'm not expecting everybody to stand, but I believe there are some people in this room that today is going to be for you what 30,000 feet on Southwest Airlines was for me. The power of God's Word activated in my life to change my life forever. Today, some of you are going to be changed forever as you simply commit to read God's Word every day. If you will stand up to this challenge, if you'll accept the responsibility to feed your faith, then from the back row to the front row, I want you to stand to your feet. I want to pray for you today that God would help you to keep this commitment and feed your soul with the food that's going to sustain you until we see Jesus face to face. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Friend, I believe that God's Word is going to be a lamp unto your feet and a light unto your path, according to the promise that is found there. Will you bow your head and close your eyes with me all across this place? Heavenly Father, we thank you for your Word. We believe that you've given us this Word, Lord, that it might change our lives. So I ask today that in the midst of your work, that, Lord, it would become more than just information. And that as your Word is empowered, that, Lord, it would become transformation. And we would be changed forever. Lord, I pray for these men and women that are standing and accepting the challenge to become more than just hearers, but doers. The Lord, they're going to step out of being deceived and become those that are walking in the power of the living God as they read your word every day. I pray, Lord God, that you would direct their lives according to your promise. I pray, Lord, that your word would be confirmed in their lives through miracles, through supernatural intervention, through healing, Lord God, through provision. Lord, we would have quit, we would have given up, but we knew we would see the hand of God in the land of the living. We knew you would come to our rescue. We knew that you would perform your word in our lives. And so, God, I pray today, as these men and women stand to accept this challenge, may your Holy Spirit invade their minds right now. And tomorrow morning, and the day after that, 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 and they would not be able to escape the call of your scriptures to their hearts. And that, Lord, we wouldn't imagine feeding our bodies once a week. May we not be guilty of feeding our spirit man once a week. May our faith be strong as we feed it with the living word of God. Move on your people. Do something genuine and real in the depths of their hearts. And we ask it today in the strong name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and our Savior. Amen and amen. If you believe God's going to help you to keep your promise, will you give him a hand clap of praise today? Hallelujah. Praise God. Amen. You know, one of the things that the Bible says that we're to do in simple obedience to God is after we give our hearts to him and pray that prayer and just submit our lives to him, we're supposed to be water baptized just like Jesus was baptized, right? There are some of you here today, and maybe when you stood up, for you today, that commitment to God's word was a commitment to live different. And that you're walking out of darkness into his marvelous light, and today you want to go public with that decision. Today you want to make it known, you know what, I'm going to follow Jesus. I'm on his team. I want to put on his jersey. I want everybody to know whose team I'm on. I belong to Jesus. Well, the Bible says that the way you do that is by being water baptized. You say, well, Pastor Tim, I didn't come today prepared to be water baptized. Guess what? We have prepared for you. We have a tank full of water out in the hub, and there's a pastor there waiting on you. And he's going to meet you there, and he's going to baptize you according to the word of God. You say, well, what am I supposed to wear? At the Next Step kiosk out in the hub, we have a string pack that looks just like this. All right? Inside that string pack, if you open it up, there's a towel, there's some shorts, there's a t-shirt that says, I have decided on it. And so you're going to be able to be totally set to get wet. Amen? And today you can go public with your faith and get baptized. So if you're here today and say, you know what, I'm not going to put it off another day. If I put it off till next Sunday, I may not do it. I'm here now. The stuff is here now. The water's here now. What's keeping me from being water baptized? I need to follow Jesus' word today. Today, if you want to do that, as soon as we say amen, I want to encourage you, go out to the hub, go to the Next Steps kiosk, tell them what size you need. They're going to give you a pack. You can slip into the restroom, get changed, and get wet today for the glory of God. Amen? Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Amen. Hallelujah. Hey, it's a good day to be at Grace. Amen? We want to challenge you today. You go with God, stay in his word. He's going to go with you, and he's going to watch to perform that word in your heart and your life. Amen. God bless you, Grace. We'll see you next Sunday. Have a great week. It's your perfect love that sees me soar.